Mrs. America, Elizabeth Coppett Cavalli, and I, Lou Cavalli, are bringing you the uncompromised truth in the news tonight on the Divided Kingdom. You can hear us on WWCR Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and on 4.840 megahertz. Also Saturdays on WWCR at 8 a.m. on 7.490 megahertz. We can also be found on the Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern, repeating at 11 p.m., and more repeats during the week. Our newest place to be heard is at KStarTalkRadio.com, Saturdays at 5 p.m., Sundays at 10 a.m. We've had a report from a listener enjoying the K-Star Talk Radio telephone listening line. You can listen. Just dial on your phone this number, 1-605-562-5330, and regular long-distance charges may apply. You can also download an app to listen on mobile devices by going to kstartalkradio.com. Once again, the telephone listening line is, number is 1-605-562-5330. Tonight, Elizabeth and I have a blitzkrieg of late summer vital news sound bites. Last week, we had one of our most important programs ever, covering the hidden September 11, 2001 cover-up and the present Destroy America plan using leftist Democrats, illegal southern border immigrants, and radical Islam, all surging against populist President Donald Trump. We urge you to visit and tell your friends about our new website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Visit the archives and listen to that key program of September 12, 2019. This evening, by the way, is September 17th, 2019, as you're listening.
And we'll have to correct that. I believe that it is the 19th.
Oh, yeah, quite right. It is the 19th. Again, the site is DividedKingdomRadio.com. Make sure you read Elizabeth's essay, Warning of the Health Dangers of 5G, also on that website.
And I'm going to, since I'm interjecting, Lou,
yes,
and you're going to mention it, we saw in our Eastern Shore local paper that they were thinking about bringing 4G, the little neighborhood boxes. We think this is a very sneaky maneuver to start to bring on the horrifically harmful to people's bodies 5G. So you want to be alert. You want to be alert, and when it comes to try to come into your town, you want to stand up about this.
That's right. This horrendous phenomenon is trying to sneak its way into your neighborhood and mine, starting with those little boxes that Elizabeth has just talked about. Share her article with every person and every church you know.
Yes, and Lou, God is good, and he is still holding back his hand of total judgment on the American church and the homeland. We know that judgment began on September 11, 2001, but God still sees some brave Christians standing against tyranny and abortion. But now, before we pick up these blitzkrieg sound bites, there is a crucial time. All of you listeners, I'm sure, are following the news. You must pray against the evil deep state forces, the international deep state forces that would instigate World War IV with Iran. President Trump has said, "We don't want war." This statement cheers us. Steady is as steady does. Those are the words that God kept putting into my mind about Trump's position. Steady is as steady does. And with the departure of Hawk John Bolton, that's a good sign. We just don't want another deep state trick event to take us into war, whether it be drones or missiles or whatever, to be a deja vu Gulf of Tonkin, now unclassified as of 2004, we think, false flag event. Tom Papert, yesterday, of National File, and on September 18th, discussed on radio worry about Netanyahu's opponent, Gantz. And you see that neither Gantz nor Netanyahu has a majority. So lurking in the background is this kingmaker, this party, this very strongly leftist party and a war hawk party. His name is Lieberman, and perhaps he will intervene here in not such a good way, because the rumors that have come to National File from two informants, they are saying that there is blackmail information that may be able to be attached to this opponent, Gantz. So you see, maybe Netanyahu and Gantz are going to run into a lot of political brouhahas that may be not so good for the world. This blackmail could be done by the deep state factions of IDF. So it's just another Kavanaugh redux, perhaps, in the making. So we need your deepest, faithful prayers in this matter. Now, why don't we here on this program ask people besides you listeners, why don't we ask the churches for prayer? Well, let's just take a look at some of the latest trouble in the church house, both Protestant and Roman Catholic venues.
First, we have Hillsong puts on a circus. This is from Way of Life. Hillsong is a coalition of churches loosely headquartered at Hillsong Sydney, where Brian and Bobby Houston are the senior co-pastors. The Hillsong churches produce some of the most popular and influential contemporary worship music, but their brazen worldliness, that is, worldliness, is breathtaking. In August 2019, Hillsong Gold Coast in Australia put on a worldly circus. Quote, level-headed, biblically-minded Christians have often referred to Hillsong as a circus. But what they may not have realized is that Hillsong isn't just a circus, metaphorically speaking. Hillsong is literally a circus. Hillsong Gold Coast, led by James and Alita Turner, recently put on a circus performance at that campus. Not kidding. In a program they called hashtag Sunny Night of the Movies, they put on such an outlandish and ridiculous stunt that even the most biblically ignorant unbelievers can look at this and tell it has absolutely nothing to do with Christianity. It's a freak show, unquote. And that was from Hillsong Puts on a Circus Performance, reformationcharlotte.org, August 23, 2019. In May 2016, Hillsong New York City hosted a Hillsong Women's Conference that featured, among other things, scantily dressed cheerleaders, and that's in quotes, an Elvis impersonator, and a naked cowboy wearing only a cowboy hat, boots, and a guitar. The cowboy was Hillsong New York City's own youth pastor, Diego Simula. This year, 2019, Yelp identified Hillsong Los Angeles as one of the top 10, and this is in quotes, gay-friendly churches, unquote, in the city. And here we have another quote. This says something about Hillsong. A homosexual can walk in, sit down, be entertained, and not have their conscience pricked by the preaching of the biblical gospel and a call to repent of sins and come to Christ, unquote.
Oh, you know, Lou, I thought for a minute when you were talking about a naked cowboy, you were probably talking about a very seedy part of Broadway or somewhere else, somewhere in New Orleans, one of the parts of the city where nobody would ever want to go.
Would have thought so.
But this was a church. So that's
yes.
Protestantism. Now, a look at Roman Catholicism changes.
That's right. Also from Way of Life. Headline says, head of the Jesuits says, Satan, just assemble. The following is excerpted from Jesuit Superior General, The Devil is a Symbol, DailyWire.com, August 21st, 2019. On Wednesday, the Jesuit Order Superior General announced that Satan himself is a symbol, rather than an actual being that was once created by God before falling into damnation. According to Catholic news agency, Father Arturo Sosa told the Italian magazine Tempi that the devil, quote, exists as the personification of evil in different structures, but not in persons, because he is not a person. He is a way of acting evil, unquote. He went on to say, he is not a person like a human person. It is a way of evil to be present in human life. And those were the assertions of the same priest, Father. Let me get his name again, Father Arturo Sosa.
And Lou, we have to interrupt this important article to wonder whether the Jesuit general has never read that part in the Holy Scriptures about Satan being one of the most beautiful beings that God ever created till he fell.
Either he doesn't know it or doesn't believe it, one or the other.
Yes.
Yes. It goes on to say, good and evil are in a permanent, and this is also in quotes. These are this priest's words. Good and evil are in a permanent war in the human conscience, and we have ways to point them out. We recognize God as good, fully good. Symbols are part of reality, and the devil exists as a symbolic reality, not as a personal reality, unquote.
And now I have to interrupt again because it's important as Christians and people like Lou and I are, because we are not 25 years old anymore. I looked in the newspaper today and there I saw the obituary of a woman who's at least 10 years younger than I am, but we used to tutor her son. She was married to a dentist, and I thought, gee, you know, life can just go so quickly. But with all of the trials and tribulations, with health issues, with joblessness, with money worries, with family pressures, all through these years that Lou and I have been married, we have known that something was really viciously after us. Now, in the early years, we just thought we were just so incompatible, and we had all these hardships. A friend back in a small Christian school, in fact, it was a Roman Catholic school, and she's remained a dear friend through all these years. She said, I never saw two people who had it as hard as you two. And she was not the type who was always weeping and moaning and giving a lot of sympathy and pats on the back. She was a rather tough-minded person. So I always felt good about her sympathy for us because I knew it was real. She would have never said that to us had we not had a lot of trouble. But you see, after we began to grow spiritually and God called us to do this watchman work, then I began to look back and think about those times when we had these crying scenes and all of these things that were wrong. And I began to realize there was someone else there, wasn't there, Lord? And he showed me scripture after scripture after scripture in the Bible about Satan, you know, going to and fro, seeing who he can destroy. And I knew that he had some prescience. He knew our radio work was coming. So I actually asked Jesus to show me in the scriptures whether that was the case. We had had such vicious attacks because he wanted to prevent us from ever being able to come on the air and tell you that Jesus is real, and if you don't know him, you need to repent of your sins, and you need to follow the King James Version of the Bible, the Authorized Version. You need to read it, and you need to know that nothing is so horrendous that it cannot be forgiven by Jesus. But if you have a condescending spirit, a know-it-all, that I'm an atheist, I'm proud of it, you will be lost. And we don't know what lost is. The Seventh-day Adventists sent me some things one time, and we had good friends who were listening to this program. A lot of their information on the police state and the tyranny was really right there. But when I read that they believed that we... if we are not saved, we don't go to hell. We're just kind of destroyed. Like there's a kind of a permanent sleep. I thought, this is heresy. This is not it. So, you know, when we come on the air here, we want to tell you that we know Satan is real. Satan is powerful. How many attacks, Lou, have you and I had on us either the day before or the day we're going to tape the program?
Oh, too many to count.
Oh, sometimes
over and over again.
I'll have a kidney stone attack. It's almost laughable. The rugs kick up. The rugs kick up so that we would fall. Many, many, many things happen at times. And we realize this is satanic opposition. Now, if this isn't a being, then God lied in the Bible when he said this beautiful being who ruled over music, beautiful music. And we know that that being has had many rock and roll stars say they sold their souls to the devil, to Satan. And then they get a lot more power temporarily here on earth. Now, let's hear a little bit more from the head of the Jesuits, his feeling. And I have to say something more, Lou. When you were reading there, it seemed as though, in his view, there was an institutionalized, amorphous kind of evil that kind of gets in our consciences, and it's an evil way of acting, but there is no being outside, you see, influencing us. In other words, we are the only ones responsible for our evil, the evil we do. And I don't believe that's quite fair, because we are not immortal beings. We are not even fallen angels. We are just human beings made out of clay. And God wants us to know that, yes, we are responsible for the evil we do, but he also wants us to know that we have to put on all those breastplates of power. Maybe you can quote it better than I can, Lou. I don't know.
I don't believe I can give you the exact quote.
We all know that it's in the New Testament there, all these different breastplates of power. We need Jesus' help. So this is a very sad commentary on the philosophy of the religion, if it is a religion, that's coming out of the Jesuit corner there. Pick it up, Lou.
The Jesuit leader's statement about the devil stands in stark contrast with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which teaches that Satan and his demons are, quote, spiritual, non-corporeal beings, unquote, who are nonetheless, quote, personal and immortal creatures with an intelligence and will, unquote. However, a 2011 poll showed 8 in 10 U.S. Catholics believe that Satan is just a symbol.
I've got to interrupt again. When we hear that term, an intelligence and will. Now, that was from the Roman Catholic Catechism, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And we've told this story so many times now about the small child who was witnessing me talk to a high school classmate at the time of my father's death at the funeral home. And I was reassuring the man that heaven was real. And this small child, whose family had had, we thought, some satanic influence working on it, shall we say, to destroy the family, the small child said, now she's talking about heaven. Now, there's intelligence. There was an evil being that, who was noticing what I was saying, that heaven was real. There was a will. There was a will to destroy the hope and encouragement that I was giving to that man. And just so in these modern perverted Bibles, in some of them, the comforter has been removed. If we don't have the Comforter or the Holy Spirit, what are we going to do? We urge you to get back to the true Bible and true individual prayer and to develop your personal relationship with Jesus. I mean, we're all little children. We can just say, thank you, Jesus, for the food you gave us. Thank you for that little bit of extra money that came from a listener. We've done that, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Thank you for the postage stamps the listener sent. And so now let's go on now and see. We're seeing that there's a divergence between the Orthodox Roman Catholicism in their doctrine and what we're hearing from the Jesuits.
And we'll wrap this article up by what the Bible says. Again, quoting from the article, and this is from 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
And then we move on to another article from WorldNet Daily, published September 16, 2019. This is also very disconcerting. Pope urges world leaders to sign global pact for new humanism. The Pope is beginning to quote Hillary Clinton regarding his agendas and has taken a hard turn to the secular, mentioning God just once in a new educational plan. The Daily Wire reports on a plan in which the Pope is inviting representatives of multiple religions, international groups, and others to sign a, quote, global pact of education. He wants to, quote, hand on to younger generations a united and fraternal common home. There, He quotes Clinton in saying, "It takes a village to raise children." The Vatican said just days ago the Pope confirmed in a video message, quote, "A global educational pact is needed to educate us in universal solidarity and a new humanism," end of quote. LifeSite News reported Vatican-backed website launched to promote the pact added, "Educating young people in fraternity and learning to overcome divisions and conflicts, promote hospitality, justice, and peace, Pope Francis has invited everyone who cares about the education of the young generation to sign a global pact to create a global change of mentality through education," end of quote. The announcement mentioned, quote, "one throwaway reference to the Lord," end of quote, the report said. He said the world's inhabitants have to be proactive in education goals without regard to the status quo. Quote, "This will result in men and women who are open, responsible, prepared to listen, dialogue, and reflect with others, and capable of weaving relationships with families between generations and with civil society, and thus to create a new humanism," he said. Lou, do I hear you dinging?
Ding, ding.
New world order, red flag alert. LifeSite noted some of the concerns with the announcement. Quote, "At a time when the right to homeschool and the right to a free choice of school are threatened, and when countries throughout the world level taxes to provide public schooling to which no Catholic parents could safely send their child, Pope Francis omitted any reference to the prerogatives of parents as the primary educators of their children. He invited everyone, quote, to work for this alliance and to be committed individually and within our communities to nurturing the dream of humanism rooted in solidarity and responsive both to humanity's aspirations and to God's plan." I have to interrupt there. We're not going to separate from the world, and we're not going to have God's plan be at the top of the pyramid. No, this is the pyramid of the New World Order. Back to the article. "He assigned the Vatican's Congregation for Catholic Education to run forward with the plan. That church division is charged with overseeing 216,000 Catholic schools, attended by over 60 million pupils and 1,750 Catholic universities with over 11 million students. Plans are for a convention of sorts to happen May 24, 2020. He said an alliance is required, quote, "between the Earth's inhabitants and our common home, which we are bound to care for and respect." Ding, 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 ding. There's Mother Gaia. Do you see? Do we see the new world, one world religion is forming right now? Those are my comments, Elizabeth Cuppett-Caverly. Back to the article, "An alliance that generates peace, justice, and hospitality among all peoples of the human family, as well as dialogue between religions." He said just weeks ago that perhaps the world needs to change a lot. That's a big one, Lou, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Sure is.
Quote, "In the current situation of globalization, not only of the economy, but also of technological and cultural exchanges, the nation state is no longer able to procure the common good of its population alone," he told the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences in May. We're going to have to look at that. That's another shocking term. The nation state is no longer able to procure the common good. No, we're going to have global government. So he also said, "While according to the principle of subsidiarity, individual nations must be given the power to operate as far as they can, on the other hand, groups of neighboring nations, as is already the case, can strengthen their cooperation by attributing the exercise of certain functions and services to intergovernmental institutions." Now, we are looking at that. NGOs that are going to try to bring in the green climate change society, ICLEI, remember all of that coming to the mayors, getting these towns to start to go under Agenda 21, and people seeing all these strange regulations about how little the buildings have to be that they build and all the other things, and they wonder where this is coming from. No, it's not coming from your local government. So anyway, he says about we must strengthen their cooperation, these nations, by attributing the exercise of certain functions and services to intergovernmental institutions that manage their common interests. Now, I'm going to just make another note. It certainly doesn't encourage us as Christians that the Pope holds up Hillary Clinton as a role model with It Takes a Village. This is the same Hillary Clinton whose first law case was a defense of a notorious pedophile and who, during the 2016 presidential debate, espoused killing a full-term 9-month-old baby right from the womb. And we notice that Donald Trump said that he didn't like this. He didn't think this was right. I think that's the moment. God said, all right, you're in. Is the Pope's, quote, humanism so misguided as to eventually even approve of the horrible reality in Illinois expanding? And as we've seen in these other states, Governor Northam in Virginia with the failed law, but with Cuomo lighting up the World Trade Center in pink to support this opposite of ethical action, this killing these babies? Is that what it's going to come toward? Is that going to come that far? Lou, we're going to have to hear. This could be widespread in the world of the humanism future that the Pope projects.
It definitely could, and I'm afraid that some of it may be in existence even today. The headline reads, Illinois Hospital created comfort room, that's in quotes, comfort room for aborted babies to die in. From PrisonPlanet.com by Paul Joseph Watson, dated September 11th, 2019. An eyewitness nurse revealed how a hospital in Illinois has a comfort room in which aborted babies who survive for hours outside the womb are left to die. Jill Stanek told a hearing on the Born Alive Act in Washington, D.C., that doctors at Christ Hospital, and what an irony that name is, Christ Hospital in Oak Lawn, perform, quote, live birth abortions, unquote, where the baby is allowed to die during or after the abortion procedure. The hospital provides, quote, comfort care, unquote, for the babies for hours after the procedure by wrapping the infant in a blanket and keeping it warm until it dies. Parents of the baby are also allowed to hold it during this time. Strange that they wanted to have the abortion, then they wanted to hold the baby. That's my own comment. But back to the article. Stanek said, quote, if staff did not have the time or desire to hold the baby, she was taken to Christ Hospital Comfort Room, which was complete with the first photo machine if parents wanted professional pictures or their aborted baby.
Oh, Lou, this program is called The Divided Kingdom, and God said, any kingdom that's divided against itself has to fall. He talks about the double-minded man, and what can we have here with such homicidal acceptance and then wanting to have a picture?
Truly sick is the word I would have to give to it.
And evil.
Truly
and
sick.
This evil is not just what's in the heart of man. It is being nurtured by Satan. Satan, the being.
That's exactly right.
Pick it up, Lou.
Yes. This room was complete with a first photo machine if parents wanted professional pictures of their aborted baby, baptismal supplies, gowns.
You can almost feel like just shutting off the radio there. It's almost more than any of you listeners can take, isn't it?
Yes.
Baptismal, read that phrase again.
Baptismal supplies. Let me read the rest of this, too. Gowns and certificates, foot printing equipment, I guess to make footprints for the baby, and baby bracelets for mementos, and a rocking chair.
Ritualizing murder. Making it seem like a wonderful walk in the park, spring picnic time of their lives. It's beyond what normal people can imagine, really.
That's right. And going on, Ms. Jill Stanek also revealed how once she witnessed the nurse deliver a live baby, but then failed to clamp the severed umbilical cord causing the baby to begin bleeding. The infant was then placed in a bag and thrown in the trash. Danica also related how she held a 22-week-old Down syndrome baby for the last 45 minutes of his life because his parents did not want to hold him. Quote, "Toward the end, he was so quiet, I could not tell if he was still alive," Danik said. "I held him up to the light to see through his chest wall whether his heart was still beating. After he was pronounced dead, I folded his little arms across his chest, wrapped him in a tiny shroud, and carried him to the hospital morgue where all of our dead patients are taken," unquote. Danik subsequently quit her job at the hospital.
And we have admired Reverend Clennard Childress for many years. I think I first heard him on Alex Jones's program back in about the year 2004. And then, Lou, you were working in a big high school in Prince George's County, Maryland, and we knew that you had an African-American principal. So at that time, we were still using cassette tapes, and I was able to make a tape of his talk. That's Reverend Childress from blackgenocide.org. You should visit his website. I hoped and prayed that that principal would waken up and be able to alert many in the black community. And like so many other attempts that Lou and I made, I think it probably was doomed to failure, because most people do not want to know the truth. They do not want to wake up. That is the population that doesn't think for themselves. Now, things have begun to change. We know that's true. There are many, many more patriot broadcasters and writers. The internet has exploded with them. And now people are realizing that their gun rights are endangered. They're beginning to think, who are these leftist, fanatical lunatics? I just saw there was a columnist who, again, I think it was Mark Shields, a shill for the New World Order, and he said that, something about Trump, the lunatic. No, Trump isn't the lunatic. The lunatics are those people who have been in these debates that you've all been seeing lately. These are the lunatics, the ones who don't love life. So, you know, getting back now to Reverend Clennard Childress, he had an update on InfoWars. And remember, his website is blackgenocide.org. He made a recent comment that should startle and convict each of us. He said, "The line in the sand has now been drawn." Ho-hum, yes, we've always heard that truism. But when he explained it, this is very, very interesting. After Governor Northam's recommendation publicly to keep a living, full-term, 9-month-old aborted baby comfortable, and then this killing decision by committee that is the doctor plus parents could be made, well, and after Governor Cuomo lit up the World Trade Center in pink to celebrate the passage of such a law legitimizing this killing, well, Reverend Childress goes on to say that before this, people could say they didn't know what was going on. They could remain apathetic. They could be silent. They just didn't know that such a thing could happen. And then, also, in addition, we had David DeLeiden's expose of the Planned Parenthood big business of selling the baby body parts. Now, Childress says no one can say he or she doesn't know. You see, now, the line is drawn in the sand. God is watching with that hand of judgment. What will we do? Childress stated that 20 million blacks have been aborted out of the 60 million total. And, of course, that number for the blacks is far higher than the proportion of whites when you consider the numbers of population. Can anyone say Margaret Sanger and eugenics? Well, we move on to have a whole different outlook than the Pope, who was commending Hillary Clinton, and for the evil, evil, beyond evil murders going on at that Illinois hospital. We have in Decision Magazine for September 2019 an article, "All Life is Valuable. Fox News Commentator Gets Personal About Abortion." This was written by Jerry Mangus. As Kathy Barnett watched the video of Pennsylvania Representative Brian Sims berating a woman for praying outside Planned Parenthood in May, she was aghast. Not much gets this political commentator, television host, and homeschool mom more riled up than the issue of abortion. If a certain 12-year-old girl who was raped by a family friend in southern Alabama 4 decades ago had had an abortion, Kathy Barnett, wife and mother of two, would not be alive today. "I am a byproduct of rape," she says, "and my life is valuable. All life is valuable. God wastes nothing. God has the sovereign ability to fashion everything according to his purposes and his plans that he has for our lives, and for that I am eternally grateful." The circumstances of her birth were not talked about in her family when she was growing up in the tiny town of Nickburg. Her grandmother Hattie took care of her as if she were her own, and her mother Mamie Jo was like an older sibling. I could count backward and see that my mother was very young when she had me, but it didn't become real to me until I saw a copy of my birth certificate when I was signing up for the Army Reserve after I graduated from high school. They identified my mother as a Negro girl, and they gave her age. It just grabbed at my heart. My first feelings were of sadness for my mom. Going to church in the South was as much a part of life as going to school, and Kathy's family was there every time the doors were open. "I remember it was so much fun," she says. "I remember Sunday school and those one-week revivals when we would get dressed up and vacation Bible school every summer, and just the safety net of it all." Kathy's mom had been forced to marry the man who raped her, but the marriage didn't last, and in seventh grade, she, her mom, and two brothers moved to Tuskegee, Alabama. Away from her grandmother, they no longer went to church. "But anyone who came to our door in Tuskegee with a Bible in her hand, I would let them in. I studied with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I studied with Mormons. I was just so interested in anyone who had a Bible." God kept his hand on Kathy, even when she got caught up in the party scene in California, where her mom had moved to be near relatives. "I didn't do drugs, and I wasn't promiscuous, but I loved dancing," she said. One night in a dream, God showed her that she was at a fork in the road, and at age 19, she needed to make a decision about how she was going to live her life. By the end of the week, she was on a train back to Alabama, and along the way, she gave her life to Christ. Back in her home state, she enrolled in Troy State University as a finance major. She met and married her husband, Carl, during her financial analyst days at A.G. Edwards, right after college. From A.G. Edwards to Bank of America to adjunct professor of corporate finance and economics, she and Carl would live in Missouri, Illinois, Texas, and finally Pennsylvania. Along the way, she started paying more attention to politics and world events. In Philadelphia, she started blogging, and her writings caught the eye of Fox News. The network invited her to participate in a panel discussion. Kathy refers to herself as an out-of-the-closet conservative. "There's a lot of truth to the fact that if you're black, you are probably a Democrat," she says. "With 88% of us voting a particular way, you're virtually born into the Democratic Party. But taking personal, spiritual responsibility for political choices required more of her than simple allegiance to a particular party. She knew the Bible should be the lens through which she viewed the world, and she found herself lining up more with the Republican Party. This wasn't a political decision, but rather a realization that her biblical convictions were driving her choices. When it comes to the issues of homosexuality and abortion, the Bible speaks to those," she said. And she had spoken on these issues, too, as a commentator. But watching the pro-life rally that occurred in Philadelphia in the aftermath of the Brian Sims video, Kathy knew she had to take her conversation to a deeper level. "If my story could provide a voice for the unborn child, regardless of their genesis, then I wanted the opportunity to share it in good conscience. I asked my brothers for their permission, and I asked my mom for her permission. Then I talked to the editor at Fox News, and they allowed me to share it online." Only God could give her such courage. Growing up on a pig farm in southern Alabama, we were very impoverished. An outhouse, a well, no insulation. From man's standard, I would not be of much worth. And then you add to that the genesis of my life, the fact that I'm a byproduct of rape. But we know that before the foundation of the world, God saw me. He had a plan, and he decided so long ago that I would be and that he would carve out a path for me. That path included forgiveness for her father, whom she nervously went to visit when she moved back to Alabama from California. The moment my eyes met his eyes, I was flooded with something that I did not have within myself, sympathy and grace. It was God. As a little girl, she would walk down the plum-lined street from the farm to the mailbox and watch the cars zoom back and forth. "Where are they going?" she wondered. "I want to go." She would make up stories to go along with the people in the cars, never dreaming where her own story would take her. Wife of a godly man, mother of two beautiful children, Carl Jr., 13, and Kayla, 10, a 10-year military veteran of the country she would willingly die for. Author of an upcoming book and daughter of one of the most courageous women ever, Mamie Jo, whom she now cares for. I'm so very grateful to God for the opportunity to be a net for my mother now, to be able to catch her in this time. She says, that could not have happened had she aborted me. And you know, Lou, we always have so much to bring to the listeners, and we may have to revise our schedule just a little bit here, because when we're looking here at the harm to the little ones, I think we're going to have to move a little bit toward the story that you have, I think, about the drag queens. And right before we get that, I want to say that July 2019, In Style Magazine had a big picture of Cecile Richards, and she's holding a big plaque, Superwoman, Superhero, Superstar, Superpower, Supermajority. And here's just a little, oh, a little snippet from that article. Now the 61-year-old is channeling her passion into a new political action group called Supermajority, launched in April with I. Jen Poo of the National Domestic Workers Alliance and Alicia Garza of Black Lives Matter. The nonprofit aims to teach 2 million women of all races and socioeconomic backgrounds how to become activists ahead of the presidential election in 2020. Patriarchy be damned. Quote, we're in a moment in the U.S. when all the rights women have been begrudgingly granted or have earned over the years are slowly being stripped away, says Richards, but it feels like there's a convergence of energy, excitement, and the desire to do more than resist, and we better take advantage of that. Now, we know what she has done about abortion. When asked about restrictive anti-abortion laws passed in states like Alabama, Georgia, and Missouri, Richards doesn't miss a beat. These unconstitutional laws are a direct result of having governments that are not representative of the people, she says. Supermajority is organizing millions of women to demand that gender equality be the law of the land. There is no more fundamental issue of equality than the right to control your own body. There we have a portrait of one of these people, I'm sure, who helped bring the mentality to have that Christ Hospital doing what it's doing. Now, Lou, let's get your new article about the children and the drag queens.
Yes, this is from BigLeaguePolitics.com, entitled Following Short Ban, Down Syndrome Drag Show Returns to the Stage in Bigger Venue. Resistance is futile to the LGBT agenda that is intent on exploiting and sexualizing the mentally handicapped. This was published September 5th, 2019, written by Shane Trejo. Drag Syndrome, that's the name of the, I guess it's a stage show. Drag Syndrome is once again scheduled to take place in Grand Rapids after being canceled for a short time, as the perverse exploitive display is back on and moving to an even bigger venue. DisArt co-founder Chris Smith is gloating following news that the event has been moved to the Wealthy Theater. They were previously kicked out of the Tanglewood Studios venue following widespread outrage and horror. The event is scheduled to take place on Saturday, September 7th. Quote, some people unfortunately fall back on this idea that disabled people can think for themselves, Smith told Out Magazine. All that does, and this is his quote, is stop any sort of possibility of cultural growth and cultural flourishing disabled people. This is not the first time in history a group of people have been marginalized and grouped together in order to keep everybody else feeling comfortable about their own misconceptions, unquote. DisArt, which incorporates disabled people into art projects, claims that the drag syndrome display is not exploitative because they are supposedly celebrating these individuals, says DisArt Managing Director Jill Vinn, quote, what we have learned through experience was that if you balance that the people on stage who have disabilities with a large number of people in the audience with disabilities, it changes from an experience of exploitation to an experience of celebration, unquote. She added, quote, we've adjusted lots of things specifically at this site to make sure that the disability community was in attendance, unquote. And then we have some comments. Drag for me allows there to be a freedom of bringing your whole self together through an expression of art, Finn said. We have talked to a lot of people in our disability community who feel a sense of needing to play the part of what other people expect them to be like or act like. Anytime we can create opportunities where the disabled voice can be the loudest in the room, I get really excited about those opportunities, she added. The American Civil Liberties Union is accusing Peter Major, who is a Republican congressional candidate for the 3rd District in Michigan, of civil rights violations for removing drag syndrome from his venue, Tanglewood Studios. Major intends to fight the complaint. Quote, I am not sure what precedent it sets for a private property owner to be forced to host something on their property, he said. I was never going to make a dollar off of this. The fact that I'm being threatened, extorted to pay more money after I donated the space, it's an understatement to say I'm incredibly disappointed, unquote. His opponent in the 3rd District race, veterans' rights advocate Tom Norton, blames Major for allowing the event to appear there in the first place, and then only booting drag syndrome after meeting with political consultants. Well, there you have...
It's hideous. It's sickening. And what we have heard on InfoWars is that the top most evil elite in that worldwide pedophilia ring really, like, they get off on doing things to these little Down syndrome people. It's just so incredibly evil and horrible. And then I have here the New York Times glorifies kitty drag queens. And this was from the Washington Times Tuesday, September 10th. And there's a picture on file from May 13th, 2017 of Little Miss Hot Mess reading to children during the Feminist Press's presentation of Drag Queen Story Hour at the Park Slope branch of the Brooklyn Public Library in New York. And it's very upsetting to me. I see two dear little faces, two little girls, and they're innocent. They're looking like, what is this? What's going on? And here's this Miss Hot Mess with her frizzed hair, her clown look. Her face is made up to look like a clown. And we know a lot of that precedent goes back to people who were molesters a millennia ago. This is no new thing. You can tune into InfoWars. Alex Jones has explained this thing. But here's the article. The New York Times just, and this is by Cheryl K. Chumley. The New York Times just published a story that was headlined, Sashaying Their Way Through Youth, and Build for Readers to Meet the Rising Drag Tweens, 12-year-olds. On a Richter scale of horrors, with one being a slight gasp and 10 a blood-curdling scream, this piece, this All Hail the Glory of Kitty Drag Queens piece, hits at an 11. When did sexualizing prepubescence become accepted American practice? The story opens with the excited exclamations of 12-year-old Desmond Napoles. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing his name right. Napoles. Napoles, also known as Desmond is Amazing in the drag world, after he gets the go-ahead to attend DragCon, a New York City convention hosted by famed drag artist RuPaul. His mother, Wendy Napoles, speaks of how theatrical her son has always been, and at times helpfully includes a quick backgrounder of Desmond's drag experiences. Beneath, a photo of him dressed as a girl with a long flowing pink and yellow skirt captioned, "At a fitting for drag con." Remember, this kid is 12. On a different online site, this photograph, this descriptor, would be cause to call the cops. The newspaper then reports on Keegan, also known as Queen Kiki, a 9-year-old drag queen, a.k.a. a 4th or 5th grader. As recently as the 1970s, when dressing as another gender could lead to arrest on charges of vagrancy or perversion in many jurisdictions, drag was an adults-only affair, relegated to underground spaces and rich in sexual innuendo, the New York Times reports. But as gay culture has gained mainstream acceptance, the number and variety of locations where drag is welcome have grown. G-rated story hours are now offered at public libraries. Kids and parents intent on raising them outside of traditional gender norms are keen to perform. This is insanity. This is normalizing the sexualization of children under the cloak of LGBTQ rights. This is child abuse masked as freedom and free choice. These are little kids. They are not props for the mentally deranged fantasies of adults. And, you know, we realize that some parents, I'm just interjecting here, some parents have stood up in Anaheim County, California, and some places in Maryland. Do you remember the name of the place, Lou, in Maryland?
Let's see. I know it was St. Mary's County.
Yes, it was in that area. So now this article says about these children, they've not even passed puberty, and yet we're expected to accept and believe they've decided on their own volition, absent any influence at all, to drape themselves in flamboyant costumes that are blatantly sex-based and parade and prance for the admiration and cheers of grown men and women, of grown men and women who believe males and females are simply states of mind as interchangeable as shoes. Shame on the New York Times for exploring and presenting a dark and seedy world in such glowing, fawning, accepting light. But an even bigger shame on a country that allows this exploitation and abuse of its youngest and most vulnerable to occur unchallenged. 9-year-old children are not drag queens. They're not drag kings either. They're kids. They're little elementary school kids who ought to be playing with the family dog and riding their bikes and learning to cut along the lines and write book reports, not dancing in drag for the amusement and creepy lusts of dysfunctional adults, no matter how many media outlets try to sell otherwise. And this, again, this is a wonderful piece, I think, by Cheryl Chumley. And she could be reached at WashingtonTimes.com or on Twitter at C.K. Chumley. God must be really horrified with all this. It really is terrible. And at the same time, we'll have to talk about it more probably next time, but we have these Hollywood celebrities and authors becoming Satan's puppets. And we have Margaret Atwood now in the spotlight. And she wrote a book years and years and years ago, The Handmaid's Tale, and it was supposed to be about a tyrannical society. And so now it suddenly is popular again, and she has written a sequel to it called Testaments. And so now people dressed like the women in The Handmaid's Tale, they are out joining up with Planned Parenthood. We have a picture here, May 8, 2019, of some of these feminists dressed up like these handmade people, sort of white buckets over their head, and I believe they have scarlet robes. And they are on stage at a Planned Parenthood rally at the Missouri State Capitol. Are we surprised? Again, if there's no Satan, isn't it clever how all these varieties of evil intermingle? My goodness, the human mind is pretty devious, Lou, but I think without some help from a being who fell from heaven, I think that people wouldn't be nearly as clever on their own.
I think you're just right. I think that Satan provides that genius, that humans alone wouldn't have.
And you know, God is still in control. Way of Life for August 23rd, 2019 had an article, They Shall See His Face. And they shall see his face, Revelation 22:4. Under the law, Moses was not allowed to see God's face, Exodus 33:20. But the redeemed saints in the New Jerusalem will see it. The face they will see is the face of Jesus. The knowledge of the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:6. Jesus is the express image of his person, Hebrews 1:3. Christ's face is the face of the Creator God, the face of pure holiness, the face of unfathomable love, the face of infinite wisdom, the face of prudence and witty inventions. And I believe this is in the Bible also. The face of almighty power, the face of the one, quote, whose goings forth have been from old, of old, from over everlasting, Micah 5:2. The face of the Ancient of Days, and that's in the Bible too. The human identical, excuse me, the human face is an amazing creation. It is the face of the individual soul. Even identical twins are not identical. Martin Scholler, a portrait photographer who has photographed more than 100 identical twins, says, once you see them side by side in the same light and the same camera angle, you come to realize how different most twins look. The face reflects the individual's intelligence and character and feelings. It has been called the organ of emotions. Knowledge of the face, reading people's faces, is an important law enforcement tool. The face has a set of about 20 flat muscles called the mimetic muscles that enable it to reflect the full range of human emotion. They are controlled by the facial nerve, which is in turn controlled by the mind and spirit. They are the only muscles that insert into the skin. A study by electrical and computer engineer Alex Martinez found that the face makes 21 emotional expressions that differ according to the muscles involved. Human faces can express at least 21 distinct emotions. Time magazine, March 31st, 2014. The saints know God in Christ and long to see his face. The hymn, Face to Face, says, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ who loves me so. Jesus Christ, same, yesterday, today, forever. Doesn't the Pope know that? Good night. Thank you.